Okay, time for another edition of Lead Better. I'm Scott Baker. With me, Sierra Holland and Mallory Stacey. And this is like the Law and Order edition of Lead Better, because this is the, right?
That's right.
Because this is about deterrence and compliance. It's weird. It's about, the title is Compliance and the Deterrence of Checking. And honestly, when I first read that, I was like, I have no idea what this is going to be about.
I had a similar reaction, but now all I can hear is the Law and Order soundtrack in my head. At the beginning of every Phillies game, they actually start with, when they're introducing the umpires and the people anyway, they put that soundtrack on, and you know, it's just, that's so funny that we're starting there.
Right.
But
yeah.
But I'm right there with you. It is all about compliance and how the idea that you might get checked is actually enough of a deterrence to not being compliant, which is interesting. I never thought I would be talking about this on Lead Better, but it makes sense.
Well, and like all the reasons why field notes have been so, you know, wildly impactful over the last 4 years, there are so many facets of leadership, and that would affect whether you're an organizational leader, or even on this one, if you're a parent. Like, understanding what dynamics are going on here can really make a big difference. And so when you have this issue, that things can get out of line. And so it's not only that you want to check and have a policy or a procedure, but how you go about that can have a wild impact on the organization or the family or the team or whatever. So I don't know, Mallory, if you're hearing the Law and Order theme as well, but I'm sure you've had leaders that you've coached where they've had to deal with some major crisis in the organization that probably could have been averted if they just had a little better system going on.
Okay, I'm going to actually geek out on this one for a second.
Okay.
You know, so in my past life, I'm a certified fraud examiner.
I did not know. Wait a minute. You've been hiding this?
Let me tell you what I read when I read this field note, and then the coaching perspective that comes on top. So what we're essentially talking about with this field note is literally the fraud triangle, because there's three things that allow people to commit fraud, which, I mean, fraud in the broader sense of the word, not just, you know, stealing pens, but stealing pens all the way through the bigger legal issues that bring down organizations. But there's three things that impact it. It's the pressure, like I need the money or I need the pens, or the incentive, okay, like I really happen to like the pens at work. The opportunity, and then the rationalization of like, you know, it's only 50 cents, it's fine. And really, right, what we see is that if you have breakdowns in the system and you start by stealing pens, then it's like, okay, well, maybe I fudge my expense reports. Well, if I fudge my expense reports, well, then maybe I escalate and fudge on an invoice to a client, and then suddenly it becomes insider trading. Not quite that fast, but you get the longevity. So this idea is hitting on that opportunity piece of the fraud triangle, that when it comes to opportunity, how do we make it where it feels a little less like I have the opportunity because I might get caught? But then the field note is talking about the cultural impacts of, hey, we got to reduce some of that opportunity without completely demoralizing people and making it feel like now they're watching you, Big Brother, and there's monitoring everywhere. Right. We don't trust you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's actually the really nuanced part of the field, and we get to that. But Sierra, I was totally unaware of the fraud triangle. I don't know about you.
I love learning new things from Mallory, and I do it. Yeah. It happens all the time. That is a blessing. Thank you.
Do you have any secrets to tell us about your law enforcement background?
No, but it's funny. Mm. Where I most connected to this field note was from my background working in restaurants. I worked at a donut shop in Philadelphia. We do donuts and fried chicken. And we all had to be ServSafe certified. So you go through a long training of how to make sure that you're handling things appropriately, wearing gloves, not touching your face, washing things, you know, checking things, temping things, et cetera. Because there were times when, you know, we might be the only person working, you know, we ran really lean for good reason. And it was just the idea that we could have a surprise check at any time. Any health inspector could come in and be watching us, and we wouldn't necessarily know. These surprise checks would happen anytime. So just the idea of, I have the reputation of my organization on the line. I have this thing that I want to keep doing, serving donuts and making people really happy with those free donuts. That can only happen if we are compliant in making sure that we're keeping people's health up to code, and health at the center of our decision making. So it's funny, I don't have the cool background that Mallory has, but I was thinking about donuts while reading this, so I have something to give.
Well, I'm pretty sure that you said something valuable there, but really I've just been thinking about donuts now and chicken for the last minute and a half.
Yeah, fair enough.
Here's an interesting element to this, because you know Mallory kind of alluded to this idea that if we make people feel like we're policing them all the time, it's deterrence. The field note talks about this. It suppresses creativity, freedom, a lot of the things that you would want in an organization, and it talks about like nobody wants to go into a store where every 5 feet there's like a camera's watching you. Please don't shoplift, right? Because it actually puts it in your mind. There have been studies that even say, even at like where a car wash will put up a sign that says, you know, there we don't cover damage to certain pieces of this kind of vehicle, they get more complaints. Because people would be like, well, I never thought of complaining, but now that I see this thing telling me not to complain, I'm going to complain. So Mallory, how do you, as an experienced fraud enforcement trooper, how do you kind of make this then present and aware in people's minds in a way that is not onerous?
Scott, that's probably the million-dollar question, right? But I think just like any major change, when it comes time of we need to start implementing monitoring in a culture that doesn't have that in the past, that you do so in such a way that is framed more of, hey, now that we are a bigger company, now that we've experienced so much growth, we are moving into the future. And so adding it in a positive standpoint so that, yeah, that 1%, 2% of people who would potentially fall into the fraud triangle and commit the fraud are like, oof, the opportunity isn't quite there as much. But you still have that positive frame or message for the 99 who weren't going to do it anyway, saying, we're growing, we're getting bigger, we're moving into the future.
Sierra, I don't think nobody sets out to be a bad person though, right? I mean, in organizations, there are always people that are like, the person that, it's kind of like you said, it's like, it's only 50 cents, it's only, you sort of walk a little slippery slope maybe.
It's interesting because I think we were talking about this in terms of, you know, we're thinking of worst case scenarios, but I was almost bringing it down a level too. I mean, if you started out as a mom and pop, you know, you're a confectioner and you make this really great small chocolates or whatever, and you're making it out of your kitchen. You probably don't need somebody to be doing like compliance and quality checking. But as you get bigger and you have more of a manufacturing line, you want people that are working on that line and packaging up your chocolates to know that, you know, every, you know, a random number of these are going to be pulled off the line for quality and compliance checking. I think that's a great example of this, of whatever I do may be quality or compliance checked down the line. So I might as well do it the right way now. I was almost thinking of it from a perspective of, you know, sometimes people are just, they're busy or they stop paying attention and it's more about, are you aware of the potential risks and that there are consequences if we find that you're slipping up? I understand that we can look at it through a much more serious lens, and that's probably where it might have been written from. But I feel like there are small moments of compliance in every organization and every business. You can even think of high schoolers who are, you know, writing essays right now, and they might not have every essay run through an AI checker, but I know a lot of schools that have it in there that if we suspect that your essay was written with AI in ways that we're not okay with, we're going to run it through a checker and we're going to have a conversation with you. And I think that could be a deterrent in some ways of, okay, you know, not wanting to disappoint your teacher or get caught doing something that you really shouldn't have been doing, or getting caught, you know, just getting a little bit lazy with your quality. I think those things can be good checkpoints in the process too.
You know, what's interesting. Oh, go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead. Bring it on.
That's it. It doesn't always even have to be like the bad fraud version that you're right, we've escalated it to. But I love that idea of quality. And what we do internally is like when we have scopes, our process internally is I have a scope, I send it out to get reviewed from a peer. Somebody's going to look at it just to make sure that every scope that leaves the door is something that we as an organization are proud of. But I have to tell you, the very short, high level, hey, it's just a coaching scope that we have done hundreds and thousands of times, and we're just changing the name and the company. Sometimes there's that moment of like, ah, oh, do I really need to send this to be reviewed? And the answer is Yes, because that's our culture and that's what we've decided as our version of modern monitoring, not because I want to make a typo, but because we have to have that level of quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody who's seen, have either of you seen The Bear? Or sure, yeah. Episodes of The Bear. So, it, you know, in the show, it's all about a restaurant trying to really get that Michelin star, become very successful. And in some of the episodes, they're just really talking about excellence and the height of performing and the importance mm-hmm. of that, because at
every
any night,
counts.
And every second counts, but any night, a reviewer could be coming in and they mm-hmm. don't know what every reviewer looks like. You might have an idea of what a health inspector looks like when they walk into a restaurant, but you probably can't tell who might be writing an article on your food. So the idea is every plate that goes out the door could be going to our most important diner, and just yeah. trying to not let that quality slip. It is a big motivator in that show anyway.
Well, and there may be a way to kind of to think about compliance here where, I mean, there's two issues here. One, it sounds like there's a quality issue, which is a thing to check on. And when are you slipping up or trying to cut corners? Whereas, as opposed to actual fraud, where you're trying to do something that, and it's not always stealing, right? This could be things like you think makes you have a competitive advantage, but now you've violated some federal statute or something that really opens up the organization to real problems. In fact, I'll give you an example. We've had a couple of cases because people will subscribe. You know, we have coaching clients. We are working in a lot of big, you know, Fortune 100 companies. And many times they'll put people that will use Alex, our AI, or they'll use our main platform, which we're going to start calling the Playbook, by the way, which has all of our really proprietary admired leader behaviors. And so in that platform, there are sometimes functionalities around chat or questions. And some organizations say we're not allowed to have that because there can be a perception of a sort of an outside input that could, there's like a gifting mechanism that we have that you can actually gift behaviors. And they're like, no, that's going to violate some statute I had no idea about, right? And so we have to kind of pull that out of the application for that financial organization so that their people can use it. And you don't think about those things. So it's not like anybody's trying to do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that if we put it as a system-wide thing, you know, it's kind of like, it's annoying, but if you're going through a drugstore and you got to buy some medication where they need to see your ID, or you're going to buy a bottle of wine at a grocery store and they need to see your ID. When they do it for everybody, then you know you're okay, but you're also kind of glad they're doing it because you don't want, you know, 14-year-olds walking in and, you know, and buying liquor that they shouldn't be, right? So that kind of makes it so that we're checking, but we're not choking, so to speak, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like what you were trying to get at a little bit earlier was, you know, what's the best way to communicate about this, and how, what role does communication play in the compliance process? Because yeah. You don't want to catch people off guard either. Like when the rules change, you need to tell people. Mm-hmm. Or when things are coming out, like people should be aware of those things. But it's funny, I feel like you can go overboard with communication, and that's sort of what the field note was also talking yeah. about. Of mm-hmm. you know we every, you know, every year for at the start of the year, someone in our firm sends out, you know, a reminder of all of the technology compliance things, how to make sure that you're saving things in the right location, not putting us up for risk, you know, making sure that you've done a recent scan and there's no, you know, bugs and no one's, you know, trying to hack into your computer, etc. It's good that we have that at least once a year, because it reminds us that, you know, the important ways of interacting with technology so that we're not putting ourselves at risk. But if I got that email every single month or every Friday or, right. you know, every 2 weeks, or I got a random piece of it, just like, just as a reminder, you know, this is how we yeah. should handle things. I would, one, either completely start to ignore yeah. it and tune it out yep. and not want to follow it even more. Or two, I start to wonder, like, what the heck is going on? What happened? Who clicked right. on what right. and downloaded right. what yeah. to their computer? And I'm starting to read into things that probably aren't there. So
yeah.
I think with the communication piece, you have to make sure that it's somewhere. I feel like compliance and rules and regulations need to be in one central location that when people want to go look for it, they can go pull it down. I don't think it needs to be sent in an email every week. I think the channel really matters. And so does the cadence. If it's that important, when are the key points throughout the year that we need to remind people about it without hitting them over the head?
Yeah. I love all of that. It's almost as though you work in communication in big organizations.
Almost. Maybe one day.
Yeah. You know, and the other cautionary part to this at the end of the field note is really around the idea that there are probably organizations that are like, this is not a big problem for us. And they tend to kind of like not pay enough attention. And then somebody who maybe is a certified, fraud, enforcer comes in and is like, you need to start thinking about this at some level, because even though it hasn't been a problem, someday it will become a problem and your whole organization might be in jeopardy.
All right. Hope.
Any last thoughts?
I don't think so.
Dynamite. Thank you. See you next time. Bye.
Good to see you.
See you.